Hello, friends, and welcome to Silo Busting. I'm your host, Kenji Ross, a strategist at EPAM Continuum. In the beginning, there were computers. They were pretty simple, mechanical at first, then digital. Send some signals in, see lights light up. The Commodore 64, my first computer, thought so little of saving your own files that it didn't come with a way of saving them. You had to pony up for a floppy drive or a cassette player some 15 years after floppy disks became commercially available. Skipping ahead, eventually the internet era began and remote storage became more accessible to the masses. But now that storage wasn't connected directly to your computer, it meant that others could get at it. That wasn't a big deal for my C64 basic programs, but now that the tendrils of cloud computing reach into nearly every large organization, actually important data lives up there. This brings us to today's topic, cloud security. The cloud has been great for business and software performance and scalability, but everything that makes it easier to work with also makes unwanted intrusions easier, and the job of IT security that much harder. That's what today's conversation is about, and here to talk about it are, unlike me, experts in this field. Enon Kostika, VP Product and co-founder of Wiz, Sam Raymond, EPAM's Chief Information Security Officer and SVP, and Aviv Schroer, our Head of Cyber Innovation. You'll hear about the evolution of the field from on-prem to remote, supporting organizational design, and the best phrase I've heard all day, cloud cowboys.
Hey Sam, Enon, it's great to have you here. We have some great ideas to discuss today, and I know both of you have interesting insights on cloud security challenges. But before diving into today's subject, let's help our audience with some background. What makes this a topic worth discussing? Cloud security has become one of the most urgent and widely discussed topics in recent years, as organizations enlarge their resilience on cloud computing to power different business needs. The security of those cloud environments has become a top concern for many, from executives to technical security and IT guys. At EPAM, we hear client requirements in lots of digital and cloud transformation projects who clearly state their concerns or needs. This is also reflected in recent research papers. While 83% of organizations report positive outcomes from their cloud investments in terms of mitigating business and regulatory risk, 70% of CISOs are still concerned about the security of their cloud environment. These trends demonstrate the urgent need to address cloud security issues. As cloud adoption continues to grow, it creates a mix of data protection, identity and access management, compliance, and much more. To kick off this discussion, I would love to hear your perspective on the key differences between on-premise security and cloud security, since I believe understanding these differences is crucial to navigating the unique challenges of securing your cloud environment. Enon, let's start with your thoughts. You have a lot of experience in cloud security from different angles, both the security product side and the vendor side in Azure. It's interesting to hear your point of view. What do you think are the main differences between on-prem security and cloud security?
Yeah, thanks, Aviv. Basically, I think that the cloud changes everything for organizations, right? Because I think the opportunity it gives for the business, for the development team, is infinite in terms of the dynamic nature and the agility it brings to the business. It's really easy to bring in new technologies. And of course, while this accelerates the business, I think that from a security perspective, this obviously just increases the attack surface. So security teams are challenged by this agility and basically dynamic nature of cloud. The second thing, that it's really self-served. So we on-prem was a very centralized IT-driven or environment in general, resource constrained, planned. But in the cloud, it's very much removed, right? So basically, it's completely self-served, no resource constraints. You just create any resources you want and you're good to go. And this basically created a very decentralized nature of a cloud environments of IT that is very different than the on-prem. Sometimes it's not even known to the centralized team, to the security team, to the IT teams, and it's done completely by the business, owned by the business. The third thing that is really unique, I think, in cloud is the ephemerality of the cloud. So when you think about resources on-prem, they tend to be pretty static. So you think about them as assets more than ephemeral things. But in the cloud, everything becomes much more ephemeral, and this creates a very different security pattern when you try to understand assets, understand behaviors, understand ownership. And I think that these are like significant changes that completely change how we think about cloud from a security perspective. And the last thing that I would add is really the how all of these technologies are playing together. I think that the fact that all of these technologies are really easy to connect. So when you think about containers and PaaS services and VMs and serverless functions and SaaS services, they are all really easy to be connected. So they are intertwined into delivering these new applications that we develop. And that's a very heterogeneous environment we need to secure. And the connectivity is hard. It's not only networking. It's also through secrets. It's through identities. It's through many different layers that now we need to basically understand and security teams and protect. So I think all in all, these are like the main differences that we see from on-prem to cloud that really change the whole perspective on how we should do security.
Thanks for sharing. There are indeed lots of differences. I think even the base thing of on-prem versus cloud, the on-prem environment don't have the concept of shared responsibility. So this is a new thing we need to adapt. And I can now add my perspective before moving to Sam's point of view. I think the fast changing environments and the diversity of applications makes a huge difference. Same to what you said. Cloud environments change much more frequently and easily than on-prem environment, with new application and services being added almost every day. For instance, AWS announced more than 100 new features in AWS reInvest 2022. That's just the fact that, say, this fast-paced changes is challenging, and organizations need to keep up with the latest security requirements and best practices for all of them. I always think of the known old corporate environment where we used to have a few images. This is for server. This is for workstation. Centralized IT, long cycles of implementations for new technologies. And it's just not the case anymore. It's simply a click of a button for every new technology. Sam, what do you think? You must have interesting thoughts from the CISO perspective.
If you look at, and I agree with everything that's been said, by the way, it's you know, the fluidity, the ephemeral nature of it. And there's one more thing that I would add to it, which is the fact that it's we tend to think that first order thinking applies to everything is, you know, virtualized. That's what people think about, running QM or running KVM on somebody else's machine, right? That's the joke about what the cloud is. There's another big problem. Well, two sets of problems. One is the fact that it is extremely flat. Traditionally, we used to base, you know, not based on design most of the time, but intrinsically based on limitations and equipment. We traditionally have hierarchical networks. We have networks that basically need to be routed across, you know, gateways after gateways. And that makes, in fact, you know, painful for a lot of deployment and slows things down, but it actually makes lateral attack also more difficult. From a CEH perspective, I could tell you, hopping it from one network to another network is work. It takes time. Cloud changed that with SDN, just completely changed that. So snooping, the level of access, all the benefit that you could think of. It's, as I always say, everything is a double-edged sword. You know, all the benefit you could think of. And the other thing is this blurring line of what is a service versus what is your node. It's really not so. You know, a lot of the on-prem changes is very much around, you know, yes, I have this node, I have a database instance, I have this, I shut it down, I patch it, whatever. When I do containment, I contain it, isolate it out, fine. On a cloud, some of them running on RDS, some of them running on your own node, some of them running on MySQL and MMM, some of them running out off somebody else's service, some of them actually running out some clusters that you don't know why, but you've got a SQL connection, some of them running off, you know, a MPQS service, and somehow you get a message. a lot of that blurs the line between what is your responsibility, what is not. And it's beautiful for engineer because you're pushing it out, a lot of that responsibility out to the infrastructure. You could, you know, potentially do it a lot better than you would have to manage. Why manage those things? It's like, you know, me having to check everything in the engine every time before I drive the car. Not good. Have somebody else do that. But your last point, Aviv, around the changes of it. And again, I don't want to sound like a old guy and just, you know, kind of get off my lawn kind of mentality, but you have to understand that the changes is good and bad. The changes, the rapid changes we're used to, the level of, you know, amount of dependencies. How many open source projects, when you do a Maven build or a Gradle build these days, you would have to suck in? How many different libraries do you have to use just to make a simple a.out file? It's insane. And if you think about that, that dependency makes complexity really a big problem. But now you expand it out to the cloud, which is you're changing things. Everybody depends on you. Everybody expects changes. That's the problem. You walk out to a room, 10 friends, you know each other. Nobody makes crazy movements. You know what's going on if one bad person walk in. You could tell immediately. If 10 people all dancing, moving in and out, then a new guy comes in, then a new guy goes out, then a person comes in, then a person goes out, try to spot the bad guy is almost impossible. You see what I mean? That's why that changes, that frequency of change, which is outstanding. It's great for software engineering. It also makes it extremely difficult, very, very difficult for you to actually find your baseline, your footing. What is a danger zone? What is not a danger zone? What is within your control? What is not? That makes it very, very difficult.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think we talked a lot about the differences and you start mentioning the cloud security changes by themselves. That's actually our next topic. So exactly to the point. While preparing for this podcast, I read an interesting article. It was a blog post by Gartner. And basically it said cloud adoption will fail because of the skills gap. Basically, they state that cloud skills gap reached a critical level in many organizations, and cloud security is part of it. To be honest, I don't think that the technology is going to stop, but I do think that after we understood the differences between on-prem and cloud, it's time to deep dive, go into the unique challenges that comes with cloud security by its own. So, Sam, you have seen the market evolve for a long time. And of course, trends are constantly changing, but actually this feels different, almost like a new security strategy, not the thing we used to do. What do you think are the key challenges that organizations face when it comes to cloud environment, especially today when it's hybrid or multi-cloud makes everything much more complex?
Okay, promise me you're going to cut me off, okay? Because this is going to take a while. But just cut me off, Rugged.
Yeah.
We'll start from top to bottom. So it used to be every bank, every organization, healthcare, their number one concern is their data. It still should be, is their data. Moving the data to the cloud, the first thing they ask is, am I going to be in compliance? Am I going to be 27001 compliant, 1345 compliant? Am I going to be able to not get in trouble? That's the mentality from security folks for a long time. That was the biggest inhibitor for moving to the cloud for a lot of the folks from a security perspective. Then it becomes the workload. The workload in a sense that, you know, then they're worried about, okay, if I have somebody else, and this was a thing for a long time, right? So, oh, cloud company could see my workload. They have DOM zero access. They can get to my nodes. What are we going to do? What if they do code injection? Well, if the largest vendor do code injection to your systems, you know you're getting a big paycheck out of a lawsuit. So, anyway, I'm not saying that's not a possible thing, but at the same time, that used to be the biggest fear. It turns out it turned into, you know, not so much of an important aspect of it. It's still important in many ways, but not for the vast majority of people. Then it migrated and shifted over to people start to understand a lot more, which is, wait a minute, I now have all my data up there. So it's not just the data at rest, data in transit and use and so on. Okay, those things are critical. But back to the point that both of you made earlier, that the fact that it's so fluid and the old school of having a perimeter, it's gone. Everybody says that now. It's just true. The old school of having a perimeter is gone. How many nodes that starts up within the, you know, within the system that, you know, directly without a bastion host access. That's a bad practice, bad practice, but that's reality. How many times people spin up another node that can get into it, and once they get into it, it turns into a bastion host for the bad guys, even if you have separation or segmentation within your network. That idea, now then they realize, and I disagree with the premise that, you know, cloud migration is going to fail. The sad truth is, yes, it will fail, but people still will do it because the pressure is too high. There is no such thing as fail to move to the cloud. Most organizations would just do a lift and shift and say, okay, let's move it there first and then figure out what to do. Horrible idea, but they would do that. And from then onwards, they have a mess because now the attack surface is huge. It's hunting season, and every bad guy could scan and see your network. Some, and you know, both of you mentioned about, you know, the nodes spinning up and down. Now every one of those, remember, angle of attack, it's not a fixed idea. It's a four-dimensional idea. It's a three-dimensional and plus time, which is if I open up a node for 0.1 second, that's my exposure. If I open up, you know, 50 nodes for, you know, 1 second, or if I open up just one node for 5 years, those are all different attack angle. Like one single node that's opened up for 5 years you forgot about potentially might have the biggest damage because people actually have time to get into it. They can figure out how to evade. They can figure out what actually needs to be. They can use that as an active recon site for the longest time. They're OP. And so if you look at all those different aspects of it, it makes the cloud, all the benefit that comes to the cloud, including SDN, makes it very difficult for organizations. They're still moving to it. You know, so it's not like they have a chance to say that I failed. Let's, you know, stop. They're still going to move to it. And most of the time, they put a ring fence around it, thinking that the ring fence would still work. Now, there are great concepts, and which we know for a long time, like zero trust and so on. Those are all great principles, which is important. Micro-segmentation to make lateral attack a little bit more difficult, control the blast radius. Those are all good things. People are moving towards, you know, other models, including SASEs and so on, so they can put, you know, somebody else to work on this Caspian swing for them. Those are all great ideas. But ultimately, if you don't have a good understanding of what your cloud looks like, which is majority of people out there, then you still have a huge problem, which is almost like asking your family just to go out there and on their own and, you know, disperse and figure things out. And then when you say, you know, where's my family? And it's like, well, they're dispersed around the city somewhere. I have no idea, but I love them. Well, do you? So
it's basically, I can sum it up with one sentence: behavior change environments, and environments change behavior. So although things changed, our behavior changed with it. So cloud changed security, and it's not the security we used to do before. I think Inon had a very good point about it. I wrote it down that I'll note it myself that I must ask him about it. He's saying cloud create cloud cowboys. Inon, you want to tell us a bit about it? I think that's a very good one.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that in general in the cloud, cloud allows people to really own their stuff end to end, right? They can basically create whatever they want. They rule their own kingdom, right, to that extent. And I think that one of the things that, you know, as security teams, we have to be able to do is to empower these teams, these cowboys in the end, to basically be able to govern their environments in a way that is secured while they continue to build to it, right? And I think that one of the things that is, and I'll put actually, let's put the on the Sam described the challenges, and I think I would love to put some like the positive aspect of cloud, which actually allows us, is opportunity, I think, for us to secure cloud environments. One is that although cloud is very decentralized and really owned by the teams and not centrally, visibility is really easy within cloud if you do it right. So I think that cloud in the end, accessibility to APIs to analyzing workloads in a way that is not relying on agents. So completely agentless scan of VMs, of container images, of serverless functions, of past services. I think that this opportunity to gain visibility is a huge, huge benefit that we gain by leveraging cloud versus other environments that do not have the benefit of these APIs. So that's probably the one benefit. And the other thing that you know is really unique to cloud is that we can actually prevent effectively by building the right guardrails and hardening the problems that we know that will be exploited if they make their way into our production environment. So all of these CVEs, these misconfigurations, and these technologies that we know they are undesired, and they may lead to a risk in the end, they pose a risk to the environment. I think that we can identify these earlier thanks to that visibility. So we have the opportunity to fix before it becomes too late. And I think that this is a huge benefit to technology. And cloud, one of the benefits that it gave us is the ability to standardize how we build, how we use infrastructure, right? So it allows us to standardize the way we create the infrastructure. So we have infrastructure as code. It allows us to standardize the type of resources we use because now we have the cloud platform services. And there are many of them, but they are not random, right? We know which services exist and we know what is good and what is bad when we come to configure them. So I think this ability to really understand, use this common stack and use also these common baselines is really important when it comes to security teams. The one thing that we need, I think, and Sam also mentioned it, it's infinite, right? It never ends. You always have more technologies and you have more things that are delivered to the cloud and more changes faster than ever. But the one thing that I think security really, we became much better at is being pragmatic. And being pragmatic means that we are not simply, you know, coming back to these teams when giving them lists of 100,000 vulnerabilities, go fix, right? We are actually much more deliberate now, and we need to be able to say, hey, these are 100,000 vulnerabilities we found, but guess what? Here are the 10 that really do matter, right? These are the 10 we should start from. And I think that this is a huge shift in how we do security and is driven by the fact that it's no longer like one single security team that is going through these endless number of vulnerabilities and so on, but actually it's going back to the development teams. And by doing this, I think that the last point I would like to say on opportunity, because we have these cloud cowboys, right? Because we have these teams that are owning their own environments now, I think that we also have the opportunity to democratize security to the teams. So by democratizing security to the teams, I mean that in the past, security was a problem of the security team. And the security team was accountable, was responsible, was doing everything end to end, and everyone else tried to avoid it. But today, the more you create a self-service environment and so on, security now should be democratized to those who are actually managing the environments, running the resources, have the right context. And this is a huge opportunity to scale out your cloud security program. And this goes to any cloud any organization that uses cloud, whether they are a Fortune 100, whether they are an SMB that just started. The ratio between security and engineering will always be, you know, not in the favor of the security. And this allows us to really scale out our security program if we are democratizing it smart enough and in a pragmatic manner. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and I can't agree more. In fact, I'll go back to one point you made about you call it deliberate, you use a couple other terms, but I call it intentional, which is it has to be... There is so much that could be done, should be done, would be done, and especially when it comes to protection. There's no lack of of notifications. There's no lack of events. But when it comes down to it, what is effective ultimately is whether we defend ourselves against an attack or not. And so to be able to actually approach it, there's so many benefits to it, as you pointed out. So I keep calling it a double-edged sword, but maybe it's a double-sided bunny too. It's soft and, it's friendly as well in both sides of it, in the sense that all the advantage that the attackers could take. For example, you mentioned instrumentation. Instrumentation is huge. Name an SDK that was designed for security on old operating system. I could name maybe two, and that's about it. But now every cloud provider has their own security SDK for setting up your controls, for applying your policies. Those are all great things. So if we start to move the engineer further up the food chain, abstract them more and more, in fact, let them touch the systems less and less. I love it when they say they want to move towards containers and so on. As they start to do that, then there's more, as you pointed out, that could be codified, that we can actually apply more to it, more visibility. We can apply controls to it that would allow our job to be more possible, at least. And then the problem of the widespread set flooded of data. Prioritization is everything. It's everything. It's, how do you prioritize what to do first is the most important thing of a security team. And, time is always the essence. And so how do you do that with the right set of tools, with, the right approach? But understanding, again, I'm going to go back to it. You can't protect what you don't understand. So if you don't know what's important to you, you can't protect it. So that visibility, understanding of what is truly critical to you, and not taking that simply as, just from face value, but understand that, when somebody is, getting close to your sacred cow, getting close to something that's critical for you, you need to react accordingly, versus if somebody is getting in to another point that could see it, that could observe it, that's also a danger, but that should be a different type of tactics and different way to actually deal with it. So that way of planning has to be in lockstep on the cloud. It cannot be, it's not a days and weeks of work. It's, it's real time. So making that real time, it's going to be absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm. I think I can pick up one interesting point of what both of you said. So we want to democratize security. We want to involve engineering. We want to create something different, but than what we used to. But how we make those, I'll say, departments or people involved understand it's not a fire and forget thing. So all security guys understand it's a process. We need to do it continuously. We know threat assessments and all those things. But from engineering perspective, and we've talked about hardening and configuration, it can seem like a fire and forget exercise. Do it once, do it right, that's it.
I think that one of the things that is really unique, unique about cloud is the ability to deploy fast and move fast and redeploy again and again. And I think that one of the, I don't think it has been talked too much yet, but I think that one of the key indicators that we want to measure teams by is how fast can we fix something in the environment, especially when it's cloud. And I'll give you like the reasoning. Let's say vulnerabilities will come and go all of the time, right? We will see a new vulnerability, a log4shell equivalent or RCEs. And we know they're coming at us, right? We know we will find them. And then the question is, how, and we know also that the threat actors are waiting to get them, right? So then you have an arm race between the red and the blue, basically on who can take advantage of it first, right? And I think that our ability as a blue team, as the defenders, to really fix these fast, thanks to our cloud development processes, and redeploy a whole entire application within minutes, hours, after we have patched it. I think that this provides us with a really smart, it's almost like a immune system, right? That we can heal fast once we have a risk that we identify in the environment. And I think that this goes to the why isn't it once or twice, right? It's an ongoing process. We have to be to develop this muscle that will turn engineering teams into really a well-oiled process that can redeploy when things go wrong, when we know there is a risk into the system. And the more we do it, the faster we do it, and the more we practice it, actually we become better at defending ourselves. So that's a bit on but by the way, this if we want to throw in another term into it, I think that that's one of the biggest benefits of having an immutable environment. Immutable environment means that we thrive to have an environment that basically no human can touch. And the only way to update that environment is by redeploying it. I think that over time, we will see that immutability of our cloud environments and our cloud native applications will become the key indicator to assess their security posture. Because if we know the environment and it's predictable, and that's where, you know, when that's where applications are different than humans. Applications are predictable. We know what they are intended to do. We know what they are scripted to do, right? And if we see any deviation, as long as it's not a human that is connecting to the system and doing something, we know we can basically identify it as a malicious activity and basically stop it. And I think that this ability to thrive to immutable architectures and defend it, knowing that it's immutable, will give us a huge advantage over the threat actors over time. So this is why it's not a one-time thing, right? It's a never-ending journey to not only one, twice, thrice, but actually to be faster, more, and faster every time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'm happy that we switched the conversation into the advantages of security. Because, you know, I'm pretty sure lots of our audience from the first part are kind of scared. They once again hear their attack surface is changing rapidly. They have huge number of features or concepts they need to adapt. And the lack of manpower and individuals with the skills to tackle those problems is also challenging. But really, we see lots and lots of advantages in using those cloud environments. I have lots of experience in incident response, and I can say that when you handle cloud incidents, if it's properly configured, you have great logs on a centralized system that would allow you to investigate fast and remediate fast. And you're not dependent on lots of different systems, log sources you need to import into a centralized piece. Basically, if you configure it correctly and you maintain it flowing the right way, you can handle the incident faster. I know we know you who are have you have a great product that tackles some of those challenges. I would like you to talk a bit about it. But before that, one last question for Sam. Basically, I want to know, do you feel those advantages overcome the challenges and makes the life of a CISO who secure cloud native companies easier? Because I'm sure lots of companies are thinking, taking into consideration the security effort needed when considering cloud transformation. So what's your take on it?
So I'm paid to be pessimistic. So if I give you an answer that's not too gloomy, I forgive me. But I always tell people it's much harder to catch a punch than to throw a punch. Almost anybody knows how to throw a punch, but not everybody can catch a punch. And there's a reason for that. And We're always behind. We're always in the light. They're always in the dark, which means it's always going to be more difficult for us. So from that perspective of it, I think we're catching up. We're always going to be catching up. Always. The question is, are we catching up and creating the right amount of resistance? The defense, you know, I joke, but it's true. Defense tactics is to buy time. It's a buy time for you to react, as you both pointed out, that meantime, the remediation is absolutely crucial. The reason why we measure it is exactly the same reason, because ultimately your team is, you know, you set it up right, that generates enough of a friction to buy you time. To do what? To respond. To do what? To move your asset. To do what? To recover. So it's ultimately about creating enough of a defense friction so that you can deny then either, you know, of access completely or most of the time to slow them down so that you can react to it. Then I come back to your question. Yes, I think the tools, I think what we have out there is the innovation out there on the tool set is crazy. It's, you know, everything that I looked at and played with recently, just like, you know, it's exponential what I used to do before. I'm still running Nmap and XPing and people are like, what are you doing? You know, it's just, I think it's a very clear sign that, you know, the both the advancement on the defense side is catching up, trying to catch up to it. But we're always going to be behind. It's part of the game. You need to understand that. You always need to work 10 times harder as the defense side. You just have to. That's just the nature of the game. But what it comes down to, though, is we can't stop. We can't just sit there because even if you have everything set up perfectly right, it's, you know, you mentioned it's a muscle, completely agree. It's a training. And there's one thing in life that's more than, to me, that's more important than anything else. It's training. Training in life, in physical, you know, defense, training in cyber defense, training your system, training your team. That's the number one thing because they have to build out that muscle. So everything else out the door, you ask yourself, you know, yeah, you got the best tool set, you got the biggest. Are you actually using those to train up your team? And this is why I'm so excited about, you know, I think you're going to talk about it a bit about the tool set as well, is that great tools would narrow down focus teams, but it will also help train your team to think properly. That's the other aspect of it, which is instead of actually getting your team dispersed on focus, I think, and I'm leading into your description of the tool set, but, you know, I think tool set like that would actually help train your team as well. That's why I'm excited.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, Inon, I think you can take it from here and tell us a bit about Wiz's unique solution to address some of the problems we just discussed. And I would really like if you can address also the fast-growing number of cloud security tools. So we've talked a lot about tools, but you find tools for different cloud aspects. So data security, SaaS security, CSPM tools. And I think those terms are very confusing. So if you can tell us a bit about your solution and how it fits in the map of those solutions and what you think is going to happen ahead.
Yeah, so I think that let's start with Wiz. Wiz plays in a market called CNAPP, Cloud Native Application Protection Platform. It's actually a five-letter acronym by Gartner. And basically, this market is the consolidated market of numerous tools that are were existed before. So CSPM, DSPM, CIEM, CWPP, all of these markets were ISC scanning, container security. These markets were pieces of the puzzle when you try to build a security stack for a cloud environment. And now CNAPP is the consolidated product that actually delivers on all of them together. So what does it do, right? So Wiz basically connects to cloud environments. This can be the AWS, Azure, GCP, Oracle, Kubernetes, VMware, and the like, and basically analyzes the configuration and the workloads themselves using agentless techniques. It means that using an API only, we can analyze the full stack in the cloud and run different scanning capabilities like vulnerabilities, misconfigurations, malware, secret scanning, and so on. Then, basically, after we run all of this scanning, we connect them using a graph database. The graph database allows us to triage away the noise and then prioritize the toxic combinations, which are validated attack paths that we can identify by correlating all of these pieces. For instance, an externally facing resource that is vulnerable and assumes an identity that has access to sensitive data. This is a very, very complex attack path, but in Wiz, it can be identified. It is identified the moment you connect it. And this is thanks to the graph and the CNAPP approach. You can set up Wiz in literally minutes and have full visibility to your cloud environments and have the prioritized list of risks that you should remediate. And the last piece that Wiz does is really nurturing this democratization process that we discussed, right? So it allows you to delegate the risks and provide your engineering teams with access to the risks they own, so they can, one, educate themselves on these risks and how they came about, what they need to do next time better, and second, remediate it themselves. So this actually creates a cloud security program that helps you to scale out across your business, and you can actually secure the business and at its own pace, which is fantastic and exactly where security teams should be. So that's in general Wiz and the market. You mentioned other things like SaaS security, which is a different space, but just wanted to address the Synapse space.
Yeah, no, I think we'll cover it on another podcast because otherwise we'll have another hour to talk together. Thank you very much for the description. And I think the partnership we are creating together can help a lot of clients who are doing those cloud transformation projects and shifting and lifting their existing infrastructure. So just to wrap up, thank for both of you. I think it was very interesting and there are a lot of challenges to tackle in cloud security. And I think we all agree it's going to evolve and we are not going backwards, just with new challenges and features we have to get to know, new concepts we have to adapt. That's basically it. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your partnership.
Thank you both.
This has been Silo Busting, a podcast from EPAM Continuum. EPAM Continuum integrates business, experience, and technology consulting focused on accelerating breakthrough ideas into meaningful impact. Why do we do this? Because real opportunities aren't siloed. Thanks to Enon Kostika, Sam Raymond, and Aviv Srar for today's thoughtful conversation. Cheers to Kip Palalis, our sound engineer extraordinaire, for getting this podcast recorded. Applause to Ken Gordon, our tireless producer. I'm your host, Kenji Ross.